Today I am joined on the show by a special guest who is a musical fixture first introduced in the 1990s. You might remember the iconic music video for her breakthrough hit, Stay, which kind of featured her singing, wearing those long, dark glasses she's become known for. And she remains, I don't know if you know this, the only artist to have a number one single without being signed to a recording contract, which is an interesting note. And in recent years, she's kind of turned her music attention towards her children with some family-oriented originals. And her new record, Feel What You Feel, is available on Amazon. And she's on the phone with me today, the one and only Lisa Loeb. Thank you so much for joining Notably Texan.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It is really great to speak with you for the first time here on the show, and I'm always curious to know, where do we find you in the world today?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I live in Los Angeles now with my family, and we've been here for, quite a long time now.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. I moved out here in the early 2000s. I was living in Texas, then I went to college in New York, and then I ended up moving out here in the early 2000s. I sort of moved between New York and L.A. a few times, but my husband's job came out here, so we are out here.
I think we're often jealous of the weather and everything that you've got out there. So,
although it's been really hot out here.
Has it?
Like, really hot.
Okay, well.
Definitely there's some global warming or something going on. I mean, we went to the pumpkin patch for Halloween, and it was, 90 degrees.
Oh, 95 wow.
95 degrees. So.
And it's been dry, I know, really bad drought there.
Oh, really dry.
Wow. Well, it's always greener on the other side, as they say. So, we can, you might be pining for our weather back here then. But,
Yeah, you guys get fall at least. You get the we got a little chilly weather last night for Halloween. But
oh,
anyway.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, you were born in Maryland, but raised in Texas. So how did your family make their way to Dallas?
Well, my family's from Texas. My mom is born and raised in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And my dad is from West Texas. He's from Sweetwater, Texas.
Oh, cool.
So we're really a Texas family. And so when we came to Dallas, it was really just returning. It was my family returning back to Dallas.
I see. Okay.
They had been there, forever, basically, and they were just returning back to their hometown.
You were talking about how you don't live here anymore. Do you get to visit Texas often?
I do. I try to come as often as I can. I'm bummed that I'm missing the state fair, but
yeah.
we try to come for holidays, and we're usually there for Christmas or New Year's. And I still have a lot of family there. My sister's there. My parents are there. Cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody's there.
Oh,
so we love going to Texas as much as we can.
Texas just is kind of larger than life for people that haven't been here or are not from here. So is that a treat for your husband to come to Texas with you?
Yeah. Yeah, my husband loves to eat.
Okay. Well, this is the place for it.
He's a big meat eater, so Texas is sort of like the perfect place. I think that's one of the reasons I can get him to go with me so often is because he's going to get barbecue,
yeah.
And he's going to get steak, and he's going to get fried chicken.
Right.
And all this other stuff that we don't eat as much here in Los Angeles, and really great Tex-Mex. We have great Mexican food here, but it's not Tex-Mex.
Right. So. I know.
Food is like one of the biggest reasons we go there. For me, friends also, and family, but
sure.
For him.
No, I totally get that.
To get him out there.
I fully understand. We are known for our food, and we take it for granted here, but it's got to be great to get back to that, and especially to treat your husband to that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, he loves it. He loves it, and he also, he curses me for it. He's like, we just ate so much.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Right. Well, you asked for it, That's
exactly.
What you tell him. Well, when you were growing up in Dallas, you went to the all-girls Hockaday school, and
yeah.
I found it really interesting that you ended up with your own radio show on the neighboring St. Mark's School of Texas. They had a real small radio station. I think it was
88.5. At the time, it was 88.5. I think a Mesquite radio station has it now, but it was 88.5.
Awesome.
On the FM dial, and we actually had a decent reach to the neighborhood.
I wanted to say it was like a 10-watt radio station or something, which is just basically enough to hit a neighborhood, which is awesome.
Exactly,
I love that.
But it was enough to get a bunch of people calling in, making requests, wanting to be a part of the station. I still get people who say they used to listen to my show. I was
really?
On for about 3 years, and eventually I was the program director. I couldn't be music director because I was not a St. Mark's student.
Ah, okay,
so
right.
So I ended up being the, I think they call me program director.
Are Hockaday and St. Mark's sister schools?
They're brother-sister schools.
Okay. You probably are well aware that St. Mark's has a history of producing all of these notable artists through the years.
Didn't Boz Scaggs go there?
Boz Scaggs and
Miller went there.
Right.
And Rhett Miller went there.
Yeah, exactly. It's the list goes on.
I'm trying to think who else went there.
Yeah, I was looking through the list of notable alum here recently. So I mean, and you are, you know, kind of representing Hockaday School, the girls' side of that, certainly great with your having gone there. So that's really interesting that all of these people who went on to be big names ended up going to these two schools. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I was friends with Rhett when I was little. My sister used to date him when we were in seventh grade, so I've known him since he was little. I heard recently that he said that he credited me for introducing him to Bowie, not personally.
Really?
but just for introducing me to the music of Bowie, which I was obsessed with when I was a child.
Nice.
And that really set him on his way, which I was very, I felt very proud.
I was going to say, that's an honor right there to hear that.
Yeah. Then you can't find your classroom, but you persevere. Yeah, you look and you look and you never give up because you're ready to listen, you're ready to learn, and you find where you're going. The day starts to turn and you make a new friend and the teacher begins to say, you have it in you to try something new like the first day of school. You have it in you.
You got your start in music maybe before college, but I know that you had some bands in college, but really your big moment came when you were had moved out of Texas here and you were living up in New York. This was around 1994. You were acquainted with, at the time, some upstart actor named Ethan Hawke. Is that correct?
He was very successful at the time. Yeah, it was funny. I actually started playing music when I was a kid in Dallas. I used to write music on piano when I was about six. And then when I was a teenager, like 13 or so, I moved to guitar playing a little bit more and really started writing songs with lyrics. And I played in Dallas quite a bit, especially when I was in college. And eventually after I graduated from college, I moved to New York City. It's funny, I used to come down to South by Southwest all the time, too, when I was in college.
Oh, cool.
I always played at South by Southwest.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, eventually my friend Ethan passed my song Stay along to the movie director, Ben Stiller.
Right.
He was directing Reality Bites, and they needed some music for the film, and Ben and the other powers that be decided to put my song into the movie.
Wow.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they put the song in the movie, and actually a station down in Houston started playing it on the radio.
And it just kind of started taking off from there.
Exactly.
It just sort of started boiling over, if you will, and mentioned it in your intro, but it's fascinating to me that, you know, as of last check, you are still able to claim to be the only artist to have a number one single without being signed to a recording contract, and that was because of this song that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it was such an amazing big deal. It was a really big deal, and it was really exciting at the time.
Sure.
Still is. I still play this song everywhere I go. People always want to hear that song. It gets requested a lot, and I love playing it.
Glad that you haven't come to hate you know, having to play that all the time, because I could understand how you know, doing the same songs for years and years could maybe be a bit of a beatdown. But that's got to be one that brings you all these good memories, because it really, you just sort of had this meteoric rise to fame out of nowhere, if you will, because of that.
And yeah, I mean, it's hard to hate a song that people really want to hear and they want to sing along to.
Yeah.
it's as a performer, that's kind of, when you're on the road, it's really fun to play new songs and have people really listen and engage in the new songs, definitely, and in other songs that are on the albums that are just as important to me. Like, as a writer, they're important to me, but it is amazing every time to be able to sing and play songs that people sing along.
Absolutely.
And they know all the words. And they have memories, and they tell me about them. So
there's something about the memories that music can create in a person's mind that is just everlasting, you know. So
oh yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I was a big music fan growing up, obviously, and there's just so many songs that are just a part of me.
I know. I totally.
And been able to create songs like that other people listen to, really, it's kind of weird and magical.
I bet. I can only imagine how that is for you.
Sure, you try to tell me that.
we've been talking about your big hit, Stay. And the music video for that song was quite memorable as well. If folks recall, it was kind of this simple, not flashy or produced thing, but so striking with that one continuous shot of you in your quintessential dark-framed glasses singing in a an apartment, I assume, in New York.
It was a studio, but it was supposed to look like it was supposed to look like an apartment.
Okay, there you go.
But it was actually a studio. And, it was really cool. Ethan came up with this idea to direct a video, and so they let him direct, the record company let him direct this video.
Wow.
And it was a great concept. At first, I was a little hesitant because I'm a musician, and I wanted to be seen in my video actually playing guitar, playing with my band, and showing that I'm an actual musician. But he had an idea that I was walking around singing without a guitar, which I rarely do, and it was going to be all in one take. And we literally shot that in one take with an amazing DP in the studio in New York, in Queens. I think it was in Astoria. No, it was maybe in Astoria. Anyway,
okay.
We shot it all in one take, which was kind of complicated to be able to get all the words. And there was kind of choreography, if you will, like to try to make sure I was connecting with the camera.
Yeah.
And it became, it was also very rare at the time, because there were a lot of videos that were being made in that era that had a lot of edits. That was the style of MTV. So to do something that was unique like that turned out to be a better idea than one that I had, where my band was going to be in it and
I understand.
Singing and playing. But it was cool because the record company hired Ethan, I think partially because he's a famous actor, but also Texan. The video, I think, really communicated with people because it had that one take, and people were able to really watch and listen to the story of the song, and it just made it really unique in a really great way. It kind of looked like the way the song sounded, like very intimate, very unique, very... It was easy to connect to it, which was really important to me as a musician.
I totally understand what you're talking about there, and I did not realize that that Ethan was from Austin.
Oh yeah, Ethan's from Texas.
That's cool. Did not realize that, and I'm certainly not trying to make your interview about Ethan Hawke by any means here. But
oh, no, it's okay. Ethan was a big part of, you know, how I got to where I am, and he was a big fan, and even beyond him as an actor, just to be able to have such great friends in New York who are so supportive and enthusiastic about what I was doing all the time and coming to all my shows and singing along and spreading the word and telling their friends, you know, any musician can attest to that makes a really big impact.
I mentioned a couple of times since we've been talking to you, Lisa Loeb, that you're known for those iconic kind of cat eye Lisa Loeb glasses, and I thought that it was so wise for you to start your own eyewear collection. I think this was back in 2010, right?
2010, wow, I can't believe so much time has passed. Yeah, I started my own eyewear collection with a company in San Diego called Classic Eyewear, and it's called Lisa Loeb Eyewear, my eyewear line, and you can find it at mom-and-pop optician and ophthalmologist offices.
Cool.
But it's really great because, you know, so many people tell me that they wear their glasses and they feel comfortable wearing their glasses because I have glasses.
Yeah.
And because, so I hear a lot about parents who say their daughters are wearing their glasses or they themselves feel comfortable wearing their glasses because they saw me and they realized that it was okay. And that means a lot to me because I think sometimes people are vain to the point of, you have to be able to see.
Right.
So it's nice to encourage people to look like themselves and be themselves and help them feel comfortable in their own, in their own world. And I've created an eyewear line with some great designers that I work with. They all have a little bit of a lift on the edge so that you can, people's faces, it's a flattering look for them.
Okay.
But also there's a lot of different types of glasses, some that are more round, some that are more cat eye.
Sure.
Some that are metal. Anyway, there's a bunch of different frames.
I can add you to this list of iconic artists from Texas who are known for their glasses, people like Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly, and you can add Lisa Loeb to that list. So
That's right.
Yeah, and I agree with you. There should not be a stigma for people wearing eyeglasses. It's just one of those necessities in life for a lot of us. I'm included in that list. So I'm not wearing any of your glasses. I don't know. I'm just joking, of course.
Yeah, you shouldn't. They're not really for men.
I was thinking.
There are a couple that look cute on men because they're kind of like the ones that I'm known for, which are tortoiseshell.
Yeah, I gotcha.
There are some that are sort of iconic looking, and they look good on anybody, but They're meant for women for the most part.
Understood. Well, I just think that was such a smart move on your part and way to go on that. Lisa, you have released numerous records over the years. You've started a family, and it seems like your children have inspired your music since around 2011.
Started making kids' music, 10 years ago.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Well, yeah, way before I had children, I started making kids' music.
All right.
I wasn't a really big kids' music person, per se.
Yeah.
I like music. But I always wanted to make something kind of like what I grew up listening to in the 70s. In the 70s and the early 80s, there was, you know, you go turn the TV on with your hand. You wouldn't, like, use some really complicated remote control.
Yeah.
Netflix and all these really cool things where you're in Amazon where you could sort of get anything. You sort of watch what was on. And there was a lot of really great entertainment, a lot of variety shows like the Carol Burnett Show.
Yes.
Donnie Marie. A lot of shows that really appealed to anybody and a bunch of and people of all ages. There was also comedians like Steve Martin, and I used to listen to Bob and Ray radio shows, and my friends and I would reenact them.
Okay, that's cool.
And a lot of things, again, they were meant for grown-ups, or I Love Lucy, things that had a sense of humor and a lot of heart and great storytelling. Sometimes they were a little silly. They could be taken at a lot of different levels, or the Muppets, or Sesame Street, the old Sesame Streets, or Electric Company. Specifically, music-wise, there was a record that Carole King did. It was funny, I didn't actually listen to Carole King a lot, even though I'm a singer-songwriter, but I knew her hits.
Yeah,
also, she had a kid's record that I did like that was called Really Rosie, and my friends and I loved it. It sounded like a grown-up record. All the real musicians that play, you know, in the band, the songs were the same level, written at the same musical level as any of her other songs.
Okay.
But it was the lyrics of Maurice Sendak.
Oh, okay.
Who wrote Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got this really cool record that we loved listening to. So I wanted to make stuff like that. There's some kind of like freedom and variety in doing something like that as opposed to doing another singer-songwriter record.
Sure.
So I started getting into doing kids' music. For that reason.
Okay.
I wanted to do something like that. I have to say, now that I have kids, I have started getting influenced by my kids.
Sure.
I love writing originals for children. I have a song like The Disappointing Pancake, and a song about monsters, and all these really fun songs. But I started realizing when I play concerts that people really like to hear the classics. Just like they like hearing my song Stay. Kids like hearing the ABCs.
Sure.
And they like hearing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so I realized, you know what, I really want to make a nursery rhymes record with all the classics. So I made like a nursery rhyme record for Amazon, and it has all the classic nursery rhymes, some of them that my parents and grandparents used to sing to me that I couldn't remember some of the melodies. So I went and kind of researched it and did that.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, and then so that was influenced by my kids.
Okay.
Even though it's not the kind of music that I was inspired to write kids' music with in the first place, you know?
I gotcha.
It's like the classics.
Well, so this is becoming kind of, you know, an ongoing thing for you here, and you're continuing this this series of releases more family-oriented with this new record, which just came out in October, called Feel What You Feel. That just came out on Amazon last month.
This record, I think after doing the nursery rhymes record, you know, which I really enjoyed making, and I loved learning the songs and having them to share with other people, I think I just love writing music. I wasn't sure if they were going to be on a grown-up record or a kid's record.
Okay.
And when I really got into it, it looked like the next record, again, was like a kid's music record, which, like you said, it's more of a family-friendly record more than just a kid's record.
Yeah, exactly.
My friend Craig Robinson, who's an actor who you might know from The Office.
That's right.
He plays Daryl on The Office. He's on Mr. Robot, many movies and things like that. He sings on it. Ed Helms, who's also from The Office, he plays banjo on it.
Nice.
And I just was ready to make another record. And again, just like the Carole King record, all real production, a lot of variety. I always, whether it's grown up or kid music, I try to make sure there's, you know, a ton of variety on the record.
Yeah, because you know what it's like to be a parent. You want this to be, you know, palatable for an adult too, and have it not drive them insane while the kids are listening to it, right?
I mean, I just know what it's like to be a person and listen to any music at
all,
ever. Like, I hate when I'm at a concert and I'm like, wait, did we just hear this song? Like,
yeah.
Like, what is going on?
I totally get it.
It's just the worst when it's just a droning on and on. So I try to create stuff that has variety that I think also watching my parents who are, you know, in a slightly different generation, it reminds me that sometimes when you play music, it's not always for your fans. It's just for people who maybe haven't heard you before.
Right.
And I think as a creative person and as an entertainer, it's really fun to be able to create interest for people who might not know what you do, you know, like to tell stories, things that will draw people in, have a lot of variety. That's just important to me.
Well, you definitely have accomplished that on this Feel What You Feel release. How about this? If you've got a couple more minutes to hang out with me, I wanted to spin the title cut, Feel What You Feel, which features Craig Robinson, the aforementioned.
This is our disco funk jam.
Awesome.
That was the one that I thought, wow, I got to get Craig to come sing on this. this is definitely a song for us to sing together.
Cause sad isn't bad, just not glad, it's just sad.
Happy isn't sappy, it's just happy. I'll break it down. Grumpy, lumpy, dumpy, stumpy.
Sassy, classy, brassy, lassy.
Shy, hide and sigh, maybe cry.
Brave, courageous, strong, outrageous.
Joy, oh boy.
You are planning to do another, if you will, album for grown-ups in the near future at some point, right?
Yeah. There should be an album for grown-ups coming out next year. I'm working on writing that. We've been busy making videos for this family record, Feel What You Feel.
Yeah.
When I have a pause on that, then I'll be recording the grown-up. I already did start writing a bunch of music for it, so I'm really looking forward to that, too.
Awesome, I bet. And I know that your fans are, too. Not that we don't love what you're doing now, but, you know, there's some folks out there who are like, oh, I hate happy music for children. You know?
Well, you should listen to my music, though, because if you hear some of the new songs on the record, like I said, it's not necessarily for kids, and
yes,
it's not always necessarily happy. There's a couple songs that are kind of melancholy, and it's not exactly what you would expect out of a kid's record.
Fair enough. No, that's a very good point.
And you know, you can listen to it without any, if you're an Amazon Prime person, you can listen to it for free.
Oh, right, yeah, because this is an exclusive on Amazon, right?
Exactly.
While we've still got you here, do you want to spend a minute and tell me about your Camp Lisa Foundation?
Oh, yeah, I started a foundation called the Camp Lisa Foundation when I made a record called Camp Lisa. It was my second kid's record, and I was sort of getting away from real kid music and getting into the music of my childhood, which for me was summer camp music. I went to Camp Champions outside of Austin, Texas. It was a sleepaway camp that I loved growing up. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and I felt like even though school was very important to me growing up, camp really made a huge impression on me. It was kind of how you find yourself and how you try new things and in a safe place and get to know yourself and get to make new friends and all this. And I really wanted to share the music of that with people. And the people who've been to camp, you know, they really relate to it and love it. And the people who haven't been to camp, they could get a sense of it. And then I realized if I want to share the camp experience with people, I could definitely do it through music.
Yeah.
But another great way to do it would be to actually send kids to camp.
Well,
so
right.
I started a foundation. All the sales of the record, or if you donate directly on the website, my website, lisaloeb.com, all the proceeds go to send kids to summer camp.
Oh, that's great.
Kids who normally wouldn't have an opportunity to go.
It's like going to, you know, to kids' college or something. You know, it's the first time they sort of get to go off on their own and sort of start to develop their personalities away from mom and dad, and it really is important.
It was a place where I first started playing guitar. It wasn't an art camp that I went to, but it was still a place that I started really playing guitar, not only for performing and making up lyrics to songs, but also just to gather around with other people. You know, really, it was a great community thing. And I don't know, I feel like kids don't get outside enough, some kids,
right,
and especially kids, often kids who can't afford to go to camp, or some of the kids who, especially on the East Coast, are kids who aren't spending a lot of time outside.
Right.
So it's just something that means a lot to me.
We always like to ask guests that we have on the program if they have any comments or anecdotes about listener-supported public radio, because we are a public radio station here in Northeast Texas, so we do depend on our listeners to give their hard-earned dollars so that you can listen to us here each time you tune in 88.9. So in your world travels, well, specifically your travels around this nation, you know, have you had any kind of experiences with public radio? Do you like to listen?
Well, my experience with public radio is very personal. I actually keep the app for KPCC, which is one of my local NPR stations here in Los Angeles. I listen to it. You know, I might be out in Portland, Maine, or up in Seattle, or you name it, and I know what the traffic is like in LA because I'm always listening to my NPR app. It's really important to me.
Nice.
I get all my news from NPR, or most of my news, rather. I get really incredible programming, music, opinions, ideas. I really live on NPR, so I think it's such a valuable investment for people, and it's a great place for them to spend their time listening. When it's really such an important part of my daily life.
It's important for all of us here in Northeast Texas, too, and we hope that you'll support us here locally at KETR.org when listeners click donate. Lisa Loeb, this has really been a treat. I want to remind folks that the new record, Feel What You Feel, is out now exclusively on Amazon, right? That's the only place people can get that?
That's right. Or if you come see me at a show, you can buy a CD.
Okay.
You can buy CDs also online. They make them at Amazon. But, exclusively on Amazon. So I know you spend a little time there. Check out the record while you're there.
It is kind of become a part of the fabric that people go there often. And more info about everything you're doing is available at lisaloeb.com. L-O-E-B is how you spell that. Lisa, thank you so much for spending your big chunk of your afternoon with me here today.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot for me to get to talk to someone in my home state.
Well, we certainly miss you back here in Texas, and we hope that you get to come back soon. I know that you wish you could stay, and let's talk again in the near future, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You can count on your fingers and count on your toes. And darling, you can count on me. Darling, you can count on me. You can always count on me.